In the name of Jesus, amen. Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. You might well agree that the word love is perhaps the most abused word in the English language. And yes, even that familiar field trip into the Greek language of its four types of love, they will not help us. Because love in all of its manifestations has been corrupted among us. It's supposed to be a virtue, that which is good and right and salutary. And yet we have turned it into a vice, that which is bad. Love in our culture often means possession and obsession, possessiveness. And then harm is done and perversion is done in the name of love. And of course, love in our culture particularly means tolerance, that is, for anything and everything, even if tolerating that thing hurts the ones that we love. Because, after all, not tolerating it is considered unloving, and that we simply cannot tolerate. We've done a masterful job of messing this all up, this love. And when you think about it, it's quite tragic that one of the most endearing words, that of love, has come to mean pretty much nothing among us, that love has been emptied of all love. But not for you, the beloved of God. Because love does not originate in your definition of it. It does not originate in your heart of hearts or in your feelings or how you think. No, John's gospel is quite to the point. That love's origin is the triune God himself. That as the Father has loved me, that is Jesus, so I, that is Jesus, has loved you. Just as the Father loves the Son, so the Son loves you. The Son is the recipient of the Father's love, just as you are the recipient of the Son's love. So if you follow the words of Jesus downstream, you see where it ends. From the Father to the Son, by way of the Holy Spirit, to you. The origin of all love begins in the Father's heart and his love for his beloved Son. It flows by way of the Son and through his cross and through his means of baptism and supper to you, the sinner. And so now the invitation that Jesus gives. Abide in my love. That is to say, remain, dwell, rest in this love. And let this sink in. Don't run to what you think are more important things, perhaps like stewardship or evangelism or church growth or any of those things. While they are important, think about the love of God. For without the Father's love, and his love of his Son, and the Son's love for you, you would have no love. You would be, as Paul says, a clanging cymbal or a noisy gong. So if you put it all together, just in that one verse, to abide in Jesus' love is to trust his word and his promises. The promises that are found in baptism, supper, absolution. And that in these gifts, you are gifted the love of Jesus. When you abide in your baptism, that is by daily contrition and repentance, you drown and die to self-love. When you abide in the Holy Supper of his body and blood, you are abiding in his forgiving love. And there, Jesus says, there is a promise. That as you abide in him and he abides in you, your joy will be full. And not only full, but we read elsewhere, it will be overflowing. If only we could end it here, that would be quite lovely. But even though we are clean in Christ, as we abide in Him, we still yet are not completely clean. Or as Luther might say, we still live as both saint and sinner simultaneously in this life. For we well know that we are burdened by the fleshly realities of our fading frame and body, and of the sin that occurs day in and day out. Not to mention the fact that we sojourn in enemy territory, in Satan's territory, tempting us all the time, stirring angst and needling our heart and our soul. And thus what often happens is that love grows cold among us, that friends used to be friends and now they're enemies. And we all turn on each other in rabid fashion. Satan, you see, kind of injects this poison into creation, good creation, into the church even, into the heart, because of some single word that is said or a glance that is given or some sort of very simple thing can cause great animosity amongst us. And Satan is a master at this, and he devotes his entire time to doing this, sowing seeds of discord and unloving dispositions. Because Satan, the world, and our sinful flesh will make sure that our love, even on the best of days, is still soiled with sin. We know that we are commanded to love God above all things. And yet we have emptied love of love. And we've slyly replaced it with a fake love, a pseudo love. And so what we do is that we give our human loves, that is friendship, that is affection, that is human sexuality within the bonds of marriage, the enjoyment of God's creation, technology, sports, all of these things, this unconditional allegiance that we are to owe only to God. And what then these things do to us is that they become our gods. And then they become, even worse, our demons, and then they destroy us. Never thought my phone would destroy me. But this is not love. This is idolatry. This is what sin does to God's love. It twists God's love into a knife. It mangles it into meaninglessness. It stunts the fruitful branches of which we heard of last week. And the end result is always the same: self-love. And of this we are to repent daily, to confess our sins and to speak out loud into the ears of God's called servants a confession. This one, out of the LSB in the private service of confession absolution: I have not loved God and with my whole heart. And I have not loved my neighbor as myself. And I have not let God's love have its way with me, and so my love for others has failed. But then comes the absolution. That is the love of God spoken by the lips of the called and ordained servant of the Word. And by His absolution, He sends these loveless sins into the heart of the sea by the way of Jesus' love. For which Jesus' love is never a love of the self, but it's always a gifted love for the other. A sacrificial love, we might say. So Jesus' words of absolution cover a multitude of loveless sins. And that is what love is. And this is love: that the Father has loved me, and so I have loved you. Abide in my love. It's not that we have loved God, but that God has loved us while we remained unlovable. That's the mystery of grace, which is wrapped in love. Hanging derelict on a tree and rising from the dead for hearts that are still sorrowful, still shameful, still bereft of all hope, thinking all love has been emptied of love. So in this way, when you think about it, really, the origin and order of love, Christians then are not essentially known by their love, but by the love with which they are loved. For as they are loved in Christ, so they abide in this love, and then they love. That's the origin and that's the order of love. That's how love truly exists among us Christians in this place. It simply exists among us by Christ, who loved us while we were yet sinners. So you don't need to pluck a tulip this spring with misty eyes wondering, does God love me? Does he love me not? Does God love me? Etc. Because you are baptized. You are a beloved son and daughter in Christ, and therefore you have been drawn into this intimate conversation between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. For there, in that love, does your heart and flesh abide as beloved sons and daughters of this risen King. And Jesus says, rest and dwell in this my love. In other words, I shall not leave you in your sins and in your death. I will stake my life and I will lose all limbs to rescue you. I shall communicate to you my purity, my holiness, my sanctity, my death, my resurrection. And I will give to you all that I am, that you might be all that I am. Therefore, you should let my love, this concrete love for you, be reflected in your love for one another. And though you are sorely tried and tempted for my sake, Jesus says, and you are hard-pressed for my sake to stand firm and abide in that love, nonetheless, let my love be stronger and mightier and greater than the sufferings that you feel in this present life. You are to look to the font where Jesus traced his love upon you in the form of a cross. You are to look to where God has poured out his love into your heart by washing you with the Holy Spirit. And you are to look to the altar where Jesus feeds you with his body and his blood. You are also to look to the scriptures daily where Jesus' love abides for you. And wherever you abide in his word, in his supper, his confession, his church, in prayer and meditation upon his word, there you abide in his love, and his love abides in you. So Jesus speaks to you his love, that abiding in his love, you would abide for others as he has loved you. Jesus' sacrificial love bears fruit in our life as we sacrificially love others. His love will bear fruit in you because we love by sacrifice. And in fact, even greater, there is really no love without sacrifice. In many ways, when you really think about love, to love is to suffer. It's to die to one's own idea of self-love and to be raised for gifted love towards the neighbor. Because, you see, we love others not to get something out of them, to manipulate out of them their money, their resources, what have you, no. But we simply give to them as we have been given to. And this is my will, Jesus says, that you love one another as I have loved you. So what is love? First and foremost, it's God's concrete love that he sacrificed his son, pouring out the blood and the water and the spirit upon you. And these three testify that you are loved by God. And therefore, you love your neighbor as yourself. A great place to see this is in the table of duties in the small catechism, where you might pray, Lord, make me a better father or mother or spouse, son, daughter. Make me a faithful servant in whatever vocations or callings you have placed me in this life. Perhaps it might be love being helping your children learn the Holy Scriptures to abide in the faith and in the way that God has called them to live. Love perhaps is asking God to give you patience to love someone whom you seem to feel is unbearable to love. Love is abiding in daily devotions and going to confession and absolution and receiving the sacrament of the altar whenever it is offered. Love is not looking to your own good, but to the good of those who do not love you. Love is inviting perhaps your next door neighbor or your friends or your family to hear the word of God in church or Bible study. And yes, love is pestering family and friends to have their children who are not baptized, to get them baptized without delay. Love is loving your brother or sister in Christ, and when you ask them how they're doing, to actually listen to them and hear the sorrows of their heart, to comfort them with the absolution of Jesus who bore their griefs and carried their sorrows, whatever they might be. Indeed, this is what it means to abide in Jesus' love. It's to receive the love that he gave to you upon the cross in the means of the holy sacraments, and so to sacrificially love others. That is the origin and order of all love. In the name of Jesus, amen.